Hello, I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good.
Hello and welcome to the SC Ballers podcast. I'm your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. We are here at preliminary final week, week three of four of the NRL Supercoach finals games, but much more importantly, the preliminary finals, the game before the grand final, the ticket to the big dance. And I'm gladly, very proudly joined tonight by the coach of the Casabonitas, Danny Boy Ricks. Danny Boy, only one place to start here, mate, and that is the mighty, mighty Cronulla Sharks.
Yes, very nice, although I don't want to jinx it, but yes, very much on the hot streak at the moment, the Sharkies. Again, great overall performance. Some of the guys that we maybe don't rate as much in the Sharks team really standing up in this final series. Mm.
I thought Campbell were abject, to say the least, in that game. I thought they threw nothing at us. But yeah, our guys all stood up. They all played really well. Yeah, it's just really worked out terribly for Canberra, resting all their players in round 27 before asking for that extra rest, and then it come back and bit them in the bum with the short turnaround into that game.
Yep. Ethan Strange was a huge out for them. It just threw their attack out completely. Fogarty had so much pressure on him to create so much, and we know he's more of just that setting up the play and looking for the bomb, and they relied a lot on Strange to kind of create on that left-hand side. And then that opened up Weeks as well for a bit of space. But yeah, just not to be for Raiders, you do feel for them a little bit after such a great season. Ricky seemed to have solved it with his roulette issues in the past. And yeah, a little bit disappointing. But yeah, as a Sharks fan, very, very happy.
Yep, pumped out. I will be out there Friday night at Amy Stadium. Amy Park, rather. Cannot wait for that one. And then we've got, of course, the Broncos and the Panthers come Sunday, Dan. The Panthers, once again, very impressive. They've had a bit more luck, you would say, just in terms of their draw. It's opened right up. They got a depleted Warriors and then a relatively depleted Bulldogs week two. It really starts to get serious for them this week, and this is going to be a great game, Panthers-Broncos.
Yeah, it's a shame Carrigan's out for the Broncos. I think that's a big out for them, because certainly Broncos pack can roll through. We saw last weekend with the Bulldogs, they just didn't have any go forward. They were just getting stifled all the time, couldn't make those meters. And they really had a one-trick pony in going to Galvin and Preston on that Blaise Talangi side. So yeah, I think Broncos will offer a lot more in attack. They've got the likes of Reece Walsh sweeping both sides. Katoni Staggs in absolute form, and he's lining up on that juicy left edge defense of the Panthers this week. So I think there'll be big points in that game. Is that going to be a day game as well?
Yeah, day game. Yep, 4 p.m. Sunday, Arvo.
Yeah, and we saw To'o and Alamotti absolute fire last week. I think they'll be heavily involved this week again. So, yeah, really looking forward to that game as well.
Yeah, that certainly looks like the game to attack. The total points in that game is already up to 49.5. So I expect it to be high scoring. So certainly you can pick those two teams with confidence this week in Supercoach, and then probably looking at the Storm from a pure Supercoach perspective in the other game. Going to be hard to pick too many Sharks this week, potentially away from Brayley. And even Nico is probably going to be hard to pick this week, isn't he, Dan?
I think so, but you know, most of us, like yourself, like myself, we're not close to the top, I guess, in this finals. So you might as well go with your heart a little bit, or go really against the grain. It's this week, I feel, is the biggest template team of all the final weeks so far. You can just pick the best players in every position, and there's not going to be much strain. So, for example, the likes of Cameron Munster at 5'8", I think he will be 98% picked there. So do you go against the grain and pick someone else?
Yeah, maybe like a Blaze. We'll get to 5'8 in a minute, Dan. Speaking of not being too highly ranked, how did you fare on the weekend, and what are you ranked overall?
I think I'm 4,000th around there. So I guess that's top 10% for this game. And I got a 927, so not too bad. I know the snappers gave it to me a little bit. I was spruking up Alamotti all week and then didn't pick him in my side.
Yeah.
You know, redemption. I had him in the flex. Yeah, yeah. Look, I was happy to see him do well, because I thought against that Bulldogs left-hand edge without Stephen Crichton there, I think it was right for the picking. And he obviously had an agenda in that game. He was busting tackles for fun. So, yeah, huge score from him. But not too bad considering, you know, pretty standard Cleary captain and everyone else did pretty well.
Yep. I had a 933, so only a few points extra than you. Rank 2,124. So not too bad. Got my eye on a very solid, tidy whitey top 1K finish. Would be a nice way to round out the Supercoach season.
So tidy whitey.
Let's get through a bit of housekeeping, Dan, to kick us off. And the league update. So the finals challenge, 3K, winner takes all, baller finals league challenge. Simon, the coach of Simon Keys, he top scored this week with a 1095 and he leads overall by 111 points. He had the VC on Alamotti. Very shrewd little pod play there from Simon. Well done. And yeah, as I said, he's really in the box seat, 110 ahead. Dan, I'm very pleased to announce tonight that to coincide with next week's Dally M's, we are going to be having the inaugural Golden Baller Awards. So we've got about six or seven categories. We're going to record that podcast and drop it Dally M night or day after or something. I'm sure Gramsy will let us know in the chat. But yeah, we're recording that. It's going to be a beauty. We're also going to have the People's Choice, the Ballers' Choice Awards for the Golden Ballers as well, where you'll be able to vote. We're going to drop that in the email tomorrow to all the ballers who have signed up to the email list, plus the Discord. So make sure you get involved in the Discord, baller.live/Discord, to jump in there. And for those who don't know what a Discord is, it's basically just an online community platform where you get to chat with all the baller community, including myself. Dan, you haven't poked your head in there too much, but I know you'll be back in there soon. Tubes is in there, chatting NFL. We've got Fenno and Realm and Myth and Finn, all the big guns chatting in there away. And yeah, it's going to be good over the off-season, chat a bit of cricket and soccer and NFL as well. So make sure you go and sign up to the Discord, and we'd be great to meet everyone in there and say g'day. But yep. Baller's Choice, get in there and vote. I think we got MVP, Cheapie of the Year, Pod of the Year, Rookie of the Year, Most Improved, Flop of the Year, and the Hot Hand. The Hot Hand Award sponsored by Jono for the best streak of performances this year. So, yeah, so we're dropping the Dally M's are Wednesday, producer Gramsy tells me. We're dropping ours on Tuesday to beat the Dally M's out there. So Baller's Choice will be named on Wednesday night to coincide with the Dally M. So should be a beauty, Dan. There's always we used to have the potties back in the pod days, but the Golden Ballers should take this to a new level.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great pod to be on. I really like reflecting on the season and just remembering some of those guys that's maybe got away from your teams or who you know you're reminiscing about that you actually got on the hot hand, a bit like, a Talis Duncan-esque of Jono's team this year. So, yeah, it should be great. I suggested the Ballies, but you went for Golden Ballers. So.
Golden Ballers. Gramsy had a good suggestion of the Ballers door after the Ballon d'Or. But I said when we do our EPL content, that's when we'll bring in the
Ballers door.
Ballers door. Doing that, yeah, no justice with my friend Jackson.
Should be good fun.
Yeah, the flop of the year contenders are a beauty, and the hot hand. I think the hot hand's my favorite award this year. Got some really good nominees in there. All right, we got finally, Dan, on the housekeeping front. We dropped last week Baller Wrapped, so you can go to baller.live/wrapped and to find out how your team went for the year. It's got all your MVP, your personal team's MVP on there. Which team did the best for you, how many VC loops you used, some really cool stuff. We threw it out to the Ballers last week to send in on social media their wraps, and we put out a competition to win a Baller merch pack for who used the most loops for the season. And pleased to announce that Thomas, coach of Skilo, big Baller community member, he had a great year. He finished 21st overall and 8th in the Ball League. He had 10 VC loops for the year 10.
Wow.
But so better than one in
incredible.
Three.
Incredible.
Shout out to the Podfather. The Podfather had 8 or 9, so he was very close behind. But Thomas, coach of Skilo, too good.
Well done. I think that's an absolute skill to be able to use the VC loop that many times. Like, you would have had to structure your team, and he's obviously had a great result overall as well. So, yeah, very well done.
Loops and nuffs, Dan, the key to Supercoach success.
Yeah, just going back to the Golden Ballers, Maddie, is it going to be a vote for the contributor of the year as well? The baller contributor of the year?
Oh, we might have to put that. That might be a Baller's Choice Award only, Dan. I don't think exactly. We can vote on that ourselves.
That's what I mean. A bit of a Baller's Choice Award.
I think we can only put four nominees, though. So out of the five regular contributors, who misses out on a nomination? Gotta be Tubes, doesn't it?
Look, if you want to take the favourite out of the race, scratch Tubes.
No, I think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jono would have to. I think Jono's been unbelievable this year, the commitment. But, we'll let the balls decide. Now, we've got to give that past producer Gramsy first. He's the gatekeeper of the awards, so we shall see. All right, Dan, let's get into the positional analysis for week three of the semifinals. Good to try and finish as high as we can in this competition. Obviously, with our main focus being on the footy itself, especially the mighty Cronulla Sharks.
Send him off! Send the dirty guys off! Get him off the field! That were diabolical!
Note, three-player limit this week from each team. So same as last week, same rules. Alamotti, obviously, Dan, was the big pod that you wanted last week. Him or Brian Toto. All their owners are absolutely flying. So let's start at hooker. And this week's hookers that you're allowed to pick include Blake Brayley, Harry Grant, Mitch Kenny, I think are the only three. Oh, Corey Pax as well, but no one going near Corey Pax. Dan, pretty simple. Harry Grant projected 69, Blake Brayley projected 60. Suppose the only question here is Grant's the obvious pick, but are you happy to use one of your Melbourne Storm slots on him?
Definitely. I mean, this is obviously a heart over head call, but I was very impressed with Brayley last week. He looked very involved. No attacking stats, I believe, for a 60-something. So, 66, and I think
yep.
66. So the way that the Sharks pack is rolling, I think he's definitely a chance for that attacking upside. And saying that, history will tell us that Harry Grant is just an absolute gun, super coacher, big game player. He's going to be playing 80 minutes with that bench as well. I think head probably says go Harry is the safest choice, but my heart's saying Brayley, and I would not touch anyone in that other game.
No, Harry Grant, I think it's just a question specifically of where do you want your other Melbourne Storm players? So I think a lot will be going for Munster at 5'8", a lot will be going for ECAT. And then it's, do you want a pod option like a Xavier Coates or a Stefano at prop? Let's segue there right now, Dan, to front row forward. And I mentioned Stefano there. He has really busted out in the back third of this season, basically post-Origin. He's posting bigger minutes and he's posting bigger scores. Now, all that being said, he's still nowhere near as good as Payne Haas. So I just don't think that anyone except Payne Haas is an option here.
He's not. But, I mean, we did see Payne Haas go down with that injury. Now, he played through the majority of that game and, you know, it was an unbelievable effort. It just depends on, you know, that would be the only reason to think maybe there's that slight injury risk. But where I would say he's going to play through regardless. So, yeah, Uto, huge score. Against the Bulldogs, round one of the finals. Huge work, 32 tackles for him as well, which is massive to go along with his usual big sort of runs, outputs, and then three offloads as well. So certainly
four offloads.
Certainly coming very good at the back end of the season. So, you know, you go down to the likes of, say, Lindsay Smith or someone like that. I just don't think they're in that upper echelon to match Payne Haas this week. Yeah, they're the two options for me.
Could you go Stefano in the flex?
Definitely not. No way. Why are you putting a front rower in the flex at this time?
No, I'm just asking the question.
I know.
Just asking the question. 90 points he got against the Dogs in that game. And, yeah, he had 9 tackle busts and 4 offloads. So that's what bumped him up. So fantastic by Stefano. I will be going Haas here. Second row forward. AFB, he's not really an option either. Like, he's playing really well, but just can't match Haas, I don't think.
No, he showed a little bit more on the weekend. I think like he had a little bit more footwork of the line. He looked a bit more up and about, but Sharks' game plan at the moment doesn't revolve around offloads at all. So the whole team had four offloads last week. And I think that's a coach decision. So I do not think AFB is an option, because when he has been at his Supercoach best, he is offloading one out of every two runs. And he's just tucking it on the arm. It's been great because Sharks are just rolling through. That's obviously their game plan, but it's not great for his Supercoach output.
Two RFs, Dan. So again, not a lot of pickings here. We got Eli Katoa, who's projected 71. Isaiah Yeo projected 70. And then a couple of pod options. Jordan Rickey, who is projected for 57. And Teague Wilton, who's projected for 59. Britton Nicara, if he was to start, could become an option. But he looks like he's found that new role there as a bench impact player at Cronulla. Do you like either particularly, Dan, around out of Eli Katoa or Isaiah Yeo? Do you have a preference there?
Definitely Katoa. Definitely. Like, he is an attacking weapon and they will be looking for him near the line. Yeo's attacking stats will come off maybe a sleight of hand short ball to another forward or a quick dart off the ruck. I don't really see that. And I think, you know, this back five for Penrith now, like, how do you not go to them in attacking situations? So, definitely ECAT is the number one pick for me. I did really like what I saw on Teague Wilton on the weekend, and he is attacking that right defensive edge of the Melbourne Storm, which we know is the leakiest out of the two. Ridiculous amount of tries against Melbourne scored down that edge. So he would be the pod I would pick up to go against the grain.
Yeah, Jordan Rickey, as I mentioned there, he's the other one. We saw Preston do very well against that left edge of the Panthers on the weekend. Ricky's probably just a little too inconsistent. I'm just not sure he's got the dynamism of a Preston.
Well, he's got Katoni Staggs outside him, which is there that he's their attacking gun on that right edge. So I don't think they're looking for Rickey that often. Rickey might get over for a try, but then his base work, his offloads, they're not up there to match the likes of the other guys.
Yep. Down to halfback now, Dan, and there's not a lot of doing. Cleary will be 90% owned again. He's projected 87. Jerome Hughes returns. He's projected 67, and Nico Hines projected 68. The gap there says it all. I think you have to take Cleary and probably VC or C, unless you really want to take a big risk in a day game up there against the Bronx. The question here, Dan, is can you run a Hines or Hughes at flex?
Yep, definitely. Either, I think.
Which one?
I personally, again, being a Sharks fan, I don't want to pick Hughes, but I think he's the best pod pick this week. So if Storm turn it on, and Sharks just have a terrible game, which hasn't happened in the last couple of games, but certainly could. If the game doesn't go their way, I think he is the best pod pick. We know he has a high ceiling when he gets going as well. So I would probably say Hughes for the pod, but I don't really want to go against the Sharkies.
Just on Hughes, Dan, with those injuries that he's got. Obviously, he had the dislocated shoulder, which he returned from. That's got to still be some sort of risk of coming out again, reoccurrence, and also this broken wrist. What are the challenges returning so quickly from a broken wrist?
So definitely re-injuring it. So if he takes a direct blow to that, certainly would be very, very painful. It is a quick turnaround. What they've probably done is put some metal work in there, so it tends to be more secure. He'll come out with the massive arm guard, you know, going back to the 1980s. Yeah. So he'll come out with that. If he does take a direct blow to it, I still think he is an injury risk, but it is pretty solid with the metalwork that's in place there. So, yeah, the dislocated shoulder can happen at any time, you know. Again, just an awkward position of the arm or awkward fall. Certainly a risk, but I mean, probably at the halfback position, I'm probably willing to take those risks rather than say at the front row forward position, like a Payne Haas, where their injury can directly affect their output in terms of their base. So I don't think it's going to affect Jerome Hughes' attacking ability.
All right, down to 5'8 now, and 5'8's been a bit of a dumpster fire so far this final series. In saying that, Munster did have a very good game. Lockie Galvin, if you've been able to get on the right one, but they've generally been sort of some of the under-owned guys. Cam Munster projected 64, Braden Trindle 39, Ben Hunt 55, and Blaze Tulagi Dan 62. I had Blaze on the weekend. He didn't really light it on fire, so to speak, for me. Pretty hard to get away from Munster here.
Definitely. It's the hardest. I think if you aren't anywhere near the top, you can't pick Munster. That's what I think. I think you have to lay Munster this week because
with
you've just got to... probably. Probably with Blaze.
There's no one else.
Ben Hunt is going to be a lot more pedestrian now that Adam Reynolds is in the team as well.
Can't get any Hunt.
Can you go Trindle against the Melbourne Storm? I don't think so.
No.
Even though he's on the right edge.
He can go Blaze.
Yeah. Yeah. Just working
through it.
I know
he only got 37.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. So, look, it's the most secure pick this week in Cam Munster, but the biggest pod move is going against him. What are you thinking? You thinking just lock Munster in?
I just don't care at 5'8". I'd probably go Munster, but I think he could go Blaze, especially seeing as though he went pretty poor last week. I think he's still got it in him, and in that day game up there, he could just jag some attack. So he'd be the one I'll give some pretty strong consideration to. I think of the ownership, he's probably worth it. He'll be very lowly owned relative to Munster. So he's only got 2 points projected lower. That might come down a little bit just with some adjustments to the model. But yeah, I think he's worth a punt probably.
Yeah,
he's had a pretty good season. He just doesn't really have the ceiling. That's the issue.
No, and a bit to your point, then you're probably taking away another attacking Panther. Alamotti, To'o, Cleary, Edwards, they're all on offer this week. So talking about a day game, I'd probably look towards those guys before I'd pick up Blaze.
Let's get to center wing, Dan, because that's going to be the most interesting position of the week. There are a lot of good options, but only one slot to fill. You can obviously chuck one into flex as well. I'm actually leaning maybe now to maybe a two fullback option of flex, but we'll get to that. Paul Alamotti, Dan, 189 on the weekend. Brian To'o, the other guy who tunned up with 138, monster scores. So well done to anyone who found those guys. I was on To'o all league. Much like Jono on the snap, when Strange pulled out, I went off To'o and put Blaze in. So that hurt me a lot. So their projections this week, just while I'm on those guys, 56 for Alamotti. That'll go up slightly, and 71 for To'o. To'o's still got that left side, Dan. Just picking between Alamotti and To'o, would you still be on the To'o train?
I think this week. So chances are most likely I think Adam Reynolds is going to play right side in defense. So I think so they'll target that side a bit more. They definitely targeted that right edge of the Bulldogs last week. So, and with the prowess of the Panthers, it's not a let's go right because that's our strongest side. Pick a side and go there. And Cleary floats. He plays what he wants. So I think To'o is definitely the pick. To'o also is just tackle breaking every single run he takes. So basically, hit up is worth 4 points for him. Getting involved. Teams kick to him as well to try to take out that effective first run that he does. So he just gets his hands on the ball all the time. And we saw he's going to be in for tries. I'd probably go To'o this week over Alamotti.
What about Casey McLean there, Dan? He's probably just ceiling just not quite as high as To'o.
Yeah. Yeah, I just from what I've seen in the finals games and how the Panthers are playing it, I wouldn't be going Casey McLean. He can certainly bust out a good score, but he just doesn't have the ceiling of those wingers being on the back end of those tries. What I'm very interested in this week, and he's a centre, but he's on the other side, is Katoni Staggs on that right edge for the Broncos. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, well, let's get to the Broncos now, because we've got Staggs and Shibasaki. They're both projected around 56, 57, I believe. So it's just the matchup. Like, I do like Staggs. I just would rather, I still don't think he has to steal. I just think the matchup's too hard. I know they've got some points there. I just think I'm looking for a better matchup with my center wing this week than one of the Broncos guys. But I know you're pretty keen on Staggs.
I am. I'm more keen because I'm looking for the pod. Like, you know, there are better Supercoach players to pick in the center wing, but he, I think this week is going to be against the grain massively. And I think he's just going to be a great pod option. So if you get the likes of Brian To'o, Kale Iro, Paul Alamotti beat, you're going to be absolutely flying with someone like Katoni Staggs.
The Sharkies boys, Dan, they turned it on last week. Ronnie 72, Iro 90. I had Ronnie in my team in the end. Still regretting that a little bit. But I just think NRL-wise, I just hope we kill it this week, obviously. I'm struggling with a matchup against the Storm, even though, as you referenced, they're on the right side, those boys, to take advantage of that leaky right edge for the Storm.
Yeah, they are. They are for sure. I just think for attacking options, they might get over on that left-hand side, but there's just not going to be enough points in that game. So Kale Iro is great for a Supercoach season because he can go up against the Melbourne Storm. He can base 50. He's a chance of one attacking stat, and he won't let you down for sure. So he just doesn't have the ceiling that he potentially had last week. So I just wouldn't be touching that left edge of the Sharks. I certainly hope they absolutely fire. But not for me this week.
One guy who's been in my team all week so far, Dan, Xavier Coates from the Storm. Now, his projection is not amazing, 52. But what I like about Coates here is just the upside. Like, Storm are heavily favoured, minus 8 points, 8.5 point favourites. Obviously, the Sharks are going to win, so it's not going to come to fruition. But just ex-Coates at Amy Park, it's just there's just always that chance of a hat trick and a big ton. And I really, really like that pick.
Yeah, he's also up against Sione Katoa as well. He's not a tall winger.
No.
So we've seen what Melbourne Storm do with Coates this year, and it's just bomb the absolute crap out of that left edge. So I think he's a great pickup. Could get those tries. He needs attacking stats. His base is never there, but he could certainly do it if the Melbourne Storm fire this week.
Give me your top four centre wings, Dan, in order. Power rankings.
Got Brian To'o number one this week. Then I've got Alamotti. So I'm just going those Panthers wingers. I think they're still going to back up and do a job. Katoni Staggs, Kale Iro. That's my top four.
Nice. I like it.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game.
All right, fullback, Dan, last position of the evening. And the creme de la creme, Reece Walsh, the hot hand. He has been untouchable the last 6 weeks of footy. He's had a rest. A couple of crucial things, though. He loses the goal kicking almost certainly. That's been confirmed. Ramsey will know. We don't know if it's confirmed that Reynolds will take the kicking back. I presume he will. So Walsh will lose the kicking, and he will also – he just wasn't quite the same. The role just will change slightly with Reynolds in the team. He'll just take over that more ball-dominant role. You would think that Madge would be crazy, though, to put the handbrake on Reece Walsh. So we should still see a pretty good role.
I think we will, and he's certainly the best attacking fullback on option this week. He loses the kicking, as you said, lots of points. He loses the fifth tackle option for kicking. So he's been the bomber. He's been the 40-20 kicker. He's kicked a couple in the last couple of weeks. So he loses that ability to just bump up that ceiling to what we've seen him do recently. So he's going to be very reliant on attack. And, I mean, we did see Panthers last week absolutely killed in defense. Bulldogs just didn't have the attacking opportunities. So I'm very concerned. And I think he will be very popular because he is the best attacking fullback this week. But I think it's a great move to go against the grain with him and maybe pick up someone like Dylan Edwards, who seems to be warming into the finals this year.
Yeah, the model can't split them. It's both got the 73 points each for Walsh and Edwards. So very tight there. Pappenhausen's the other one, Dan, 65. He's just had a very unsettled season with numerous injuries and concussion incidents. No goal kicking. He just really hasn't been able to hit the heights. But again, he's got the best matchup out of all these fullbacks.
Yeah, if you're high on Storm this week, definitely pick up Pappenhausen. I think that's a great pod move. Again, being a Sharks fan, it's going to be a tough watch, and I don't really want to be cheering on Pappenhausen at all. So I'm going to give him a miss. But I wouldn't be against anyone picking up, particularly if you're potting up against Reece Walsh.
Yep. And we don't need to chat about Bubba Kennedy there at only a 48-point projection.
Just keep doing what you're doing, William. Just keep
doing. He's had two blinders.
Catching balls. And, letting Nico run the sweeping fullback play. Just keep doing that, please.
He did drop an easy bomb on the weekend, so hopefully that's got that out of his system. But, yeah, I'm cheering you on big time, Bubba. Always love Bubba. I've always said that on this podcast. I've always loved Bubba Kennedy. In fact, pick him in Supercoach this week. Dan, I just want to now just finish out the pod. We got flex targets and captains and vice captains. Just on the flex target, how are you thinking about the flex at this stage?
Again, I think I'll probably go pod and try to jag a very attacking centre wing. Hopefully they get a double or a treble. I don't really care about the base output guys this week, so I won't be touching any front row or second row. And I just don't think the matchup's great for the halfbacks. The only halfback I'd choose at the flex would be Jerome Hughes to partner Nathan Cleary. But probably looking for a centre wing upside, so pick two centre wings this week.
Yeah, I'm thinking either that or two fullbacks, so a Walsh-Edwards or Walsh-Pappenhausen or Edwards-Pappenhausen, any two of those three, try and get a bit of ceiling there. But like we've seen it last week now, like these centre wings are the ones who do have the ceilings in finals, a lot of tries by wingers. So yeah, I don't mind that. Don't mind that play at all. Alamotti actually updated at 191, incredibly. So he now is the top 10 Supercoach scorer of all time. Congratulations, Paul.
Yeah, well done, Paul. I don't want to talk about him that much, but I was supposed to do a reel for Gramsy. Producer was hassling me, but I was a bit sick. I think I did the pod on Tuesday and it just got worse Wednesday, Thursday. So didn't end up doing the Alamotti content.
You might have picked him. What a gosh.
Yeah.
captains and vice captains, Dan. Now, obviously, Nathan Cleary and Payne Haas are good options. You mentioned, though, that injury to Haas. Has that put you off a little bit for captaincy?
Yep, definitely. Definitely.
What's wrong with him? He had like an ankle, just an ankle strain or something, sprain?
Yeah, I know. I haven't looked it up, to be honest, but if it's something like a light syndesmosis where it's you just don't get the power generation as much, like he obviously can play through it a little bit. He obviously got a needle or something and came back out. He might have had that a couple of times. I didn't see the incident, but if it's say it's a lateral ligament sprain, you can definitely play through that. And he's had 2 weeks now. So he could be, and I feel none
that's
of these,
what it is. Lateral,
none of
lateral
these,
ankle.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yep.
So you can definitely play through that. He'll get an injection. He'll get strapped up and he could be absolutely fine. We know Payne Haas has probably played injured all year. And I think he suffered a similar injury mid-season as well and he was back quickly. So it doesn't concern me. Yeah, sorry, injury-wise, it doesn't concern me too much, but I just don't want to pick a front rower at the captain options this week.
Yeah, and we saw again last week, like the centre wing options, if you want that big upside for your double or triple points, it's a great place to go. Nathan Cleary, obviously a great option. If you want to be nice steady Eddie like me, I'll probably go Cleary again for captain, just try and finish as high as I can. So he's a good option. Obviously, centre wing is incredibly viable. Fullbacks, Dan, what do you think about the fullbacks as captain options this week?
What's this attitude about just finishing as high as you can, Matty? Like, are you gonna, is that so you hold the reputation?
You can't just give up. The prize isn't big. I'm not giving up. I just want the top 1K to go in my top 1K in Classic.
So yeah, so you can put on your banner next year, like as seen top 800 in NRL Finals 2025. Well done.
2025 top 1K finals merchant. I honestly, Dan, I'm so consumed by the Sharks winning this game this week. I just don't care. But I do care very much about Supercoach content. And so that's why we're here. We're doing the show to get the punters around the Supercoach finals game. And I do care about that. I want to just finish as high as I can. I can't win anyway. It doesn't matter what I do.
No, no. I mean, you may, you know, if you went ultra pod this week and jagged a score, you know.
I'd need a Coates captain.
Coming in the
maybe.
Grand final. I'm not against it. I'm not against it at all. What
Dan,
was the question?
No, I don't know. Who's captains? Dan, it's been an enjoyable pod. I cannot wait for this weekend's footy. We got the Sharks Friday night, the Storm against the Storm, and then the game, the huge game, Panthers, Broncos Panthers prelim is going to be unbelievable. I wish I was going to that game as well. Two great games of footy. Got the AFL grand final splitting that. So it's a huge weekend of sport down here in sunny Australia. Cannot wait to get around it. Great time to be alive. Danny boy, we've got the Golden Ballers. Get around that. We've still got heaps of content coming out before the end of the season. We're going to have a big grand final show sometime next week as well. Dan, I don't know when you'll come back on, probably for the awards, so that'll be good. But it's been a great season. Just want to thank you while I got you on for the chance. Incredible, particularly for the Q&A pods, but for the Tuesday pods as well. And best of luck for this weekend.
Thank you, Matt. Yeah, hopefully I'm around for a pod next week coming into grand final week. I think finals still goes through grand finals week, don't they? So you can thank me again that week.
I'm just patting this pot out.
I'll be looking for a pub in London that's open. If anyone's got a suggestion for Friday, I've got to find one for Sharkies. Hit us up in the Discord. I'll be going to the Discord this weekend.
Is this an official baller community meetup in London for the Sharks game?
If there's any Sharks, no Melbourne Storm followers, please. No, if you are, it might be good. Yeah. Anyone in London looking to hang out for a Friday morning, I'm your man.
I'm actually a Storm member, incredibly. That's how I got my tickets this week. I'll be wearing my Sharks jersey. Don't worry about that on Friday night.
How good.
All right. It's been a beauty, Dan. You can take us out.
You beauty.